out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 313. This is the Quill edition, or otherwise known as the Pen to Paper edition. Got a lot of writing to talk about, so that's why we went with the title that we did. Took us a little while to actually get it today, believe it or not. Usually the title just kind of comes out of nowhere, and we kind of run with it, even if it doesn't actually end up fitting the show. But today was really weird. I had the show all sitting there. I was waiting for a title, and I was like, well, you know, What kind of feeling do I have? What am I proud about today's show? And I think that, you know, more than anything else about today's show, I think we have a ton of great content. And I'm really kind of happy with a bunch of the articles that came out. So I'm gonna kind of go with the Quill edition. You know, happy to bring out the pen and show that once more it is mightier than the sword. Well, at least hopefully. Hopefully everybody out there is having a fantastic week. This is a rather special day. This is the 25th of February, 2009. If you're listening to this after the fact, which is almost certain, then I want you to remember back to that day, because today is my mother-in-law's birthday, first of all. So happy birthday very much, Linda. She's had a whole bunch of great stuff happen, and there's it's going to be fun. And today is also Norbert Davis from over at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast's birthday as well, so happy birthday to Norbert. We have a little special something for Norbert later on. He's already seen it, so it's going to be kind of fun. But that's neither here nor there. You are currently listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture, technology, news. We are driven by a love of all things shiny and caffeinated to give you the absolute best news that we can find. On today's show, you're going to be hearing about any and all the following topics: Gmail, video games, Inbox Zero, podcasting, antivirus, the Pharaohs, Legos, social networking, hot dog, coffee, pricing, and milk. A lot of the times we get the plurals mixed up there, so I apologize if we have any grammar sticklers out there. It's usually a pretty succinct list, but the plurals get mixed up all the time, so hopefully the right inflection made it through. We have a great amount of stuff for you to talk about today. We have a lot of Tom for the Geeks Who Care kind of thing. We have a little bit Geek Croft, a ton of consumable and caffeinated bits to round out the show, and as always, plenty of great information and interesting little links all throughout. I would, however, really like to stress that if you are interested in the kind of links that we show on the podcast, you would probably do well to also subscribe to our Tumblr feed, and that's caffeination.tumblr.com. What that is whenever I find a really cool, interesting article that I just can't fit into the show, what I do is I kind of send it over there and it gets posted up. So even if I'm in work, even if I'm anywhere else, there's a little button on my browser. It says share on Tumblr. So it just goes right up there. Half the time I'll put really cool stuff up there and forget to put it in the show. So I just wanted to share that with everybody so that they kind of understood and knew what that was. It's the back channel for the Caffeination Podcast. We call it All the Cruft and None of the Chaff, which is the flaky stuff that's on the outside of the coffee beans as they're being roasted. So hopefully, like I said, your week is going quite well for you. This podcast and all of the other episodic friends that it has is lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. Being that that's the Caffeination homepage, we thought the Caffeination Podcast would kind of fit in all right over there, you know? If you'd like to subscribe to the show, the RSS feed is linked up through three or four or five or six or more buttons over at the homepage. We have the iTunes button, the Zune button, which both open their respective applications. We also have the RSS button directly, and there's a huge ton of them over in listings, so you can subscribe to it any which way you please. So hopefully you can get your caffeinated fix correctly. If you have any comments, feedback, or suggestion about how we could do a little bit better, a little bit worse, whatever, please feel free to fire an email off to caffeination@gmail.com. Alright, we're going to head right on into the episode. Before we talk to you just a little bit about our sponsor, business travel is a profitability killer. So do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, the easiest online meeting service. With just a click, you can launch sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos, or even collaborative sessions right from the comfort of your desk. GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and use, you'll have your first meeting up and running in seconds. Plus, hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate. Free voiceover IP and phone conferencing are included. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. With this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com. goodmeeting.com/tech podcasts for your free trial today. I'd like to thank Good Meeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of fun and interesting stuff. They allow us to bring you all the great news that we're currently trying to do. So thank you very much to them. I don't know if it's coming through, but I just feel congested. I don't know what it is, so hopefully it's not making it through into your earbuds, and that's going to be the last time I mention it. The Caffeination Podcast is, of course, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have actually agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and hopefully fantastic podcasting, and they're all listed over at www.techpodcasts.com. There's a couple friends from the Tech Podcast Network that have actually helped us out on today's show, so it's really kind of fun and interesting to see the different links that everybody sends in, so you're going to see them as we come upon them. Alright, up first, right under where it says follow along with us as we talk about all of these different topics. It's kind of, people weren't really understanding why there were just lists of links on the page. What these lists are is, they're the talking points, you know? So the first little thing we have up here is an article that I published, and what I've been doing is I've been writing at night like a fiend, and then I schedule them so that they actually come out in the middle of the day, because I figured that when I was writing and publishing them at 1 a.m., nobody was seeing them, and I know that once they're up, people can see them, but nobody sees the announcements of them either, so I'm kind of putting them out in the middle of the day. It's automatically done, so I don't even have to worry about it, so meetings or whatever happens, I don't have to log in and try and activate anything. It's really, really useful. So the first one that I wanted to talk to you about a little bit about is the introduction here to tech in tough times. I kind of switched it up a little bit. This one's talking about antivirus. Now, a $50 subscription to an antivirus software every year is something that a lot of people, you know, just assume that it's a tax for having a PC. You know, the computer's cheaper, but the software required to run it needs a little bit more maintenance compared to a Macintosh. So people just kind of assume that they have to pay the $50. Well, you know what? Now everybody's kind of sort of starting to figure out that, you know, times are tough, money is hard to come by, and you just want to cut corners where you can. But you don't want to necessarily make your computer a festering pit of disease. So, enter the two free solutions for antivirus that I've been using, both at work and at home. Not on my work machines. We actually have a deal with a certain virus software virus vendor, so I'm not going to mention them there. But these are ones that I use for troubleshooting, I use to kind of test out, and I always refer people who are looking for free solutions to either one of these. The first one's AVG Antivirus. It's actually the free version of a full version of their product. Their full version does everything. I'm pretty sure it includes making julienne fries in 30 seconds. That, you know, the free version, however, is just a very solid, good antivirus program. So if you ever used Norton, Symantec, or McAfee, then it's pretty much of that kind of ilk. It just, you know, routinely scans your computer. You can actually schedule it to do things. It downloads the virus updates all on its own. It has all kinds of plugins and everything. I usually end up disabling the browser plugin because it tracks where you're going, and kind of, I just don't like that. I understand that people are tracking where I'm going anyway. I just would prefer to limit the exposure to data where I can. The second one that we have up here is actually one of my old-time favorites. It's ClamWin AV. Now, ClamWin AV is one of my favorites because it's also a portable app. We're going to be talking a little bit more about portable apps in the upcoming weeks, but ClamWin makes a very, very, very good portable app version of an antivirus program, and it does not clean your computer out. That's what a lot of people don't seem to understand. It just tells you what's infected. So it also doesn't do real-time scanning. So after it protects you from certain infections, it doesn't necessarily scan for other ones that may or may not have gotten through, so, which is why I use AVG. So I just wanted to kind of send you on over to the link so you can read all the fine-tuned little details of it. So hopefully you find that interesting. Please feel free to comment if you think I'm missing one. I mean, hey, if there's one that I'm not out there seeing, then, you know, I gladly add it in there, especially, you know, if it's another free one, because, I mean, that's always fun. All right, next little thing we have here is what I've learned from podcasting. Now, this is a little article that's been brewing for a real long time, and every once in a while I kind of get back to basics when somebody asks me a question about production or something like that, and they're really honestly and genuinely interested. I try and go through the steps that it takes me to create a podcast. I mean, from the stuff as simple as where do I get my stories, to the things as complicated as, you know, well, how do you make sure that all the data that's, you know, in the show notes is actually in the the MP3 itself? How do you add album artwork in? I mean, these are all really tiny little details that all have to happen to every single file that I do, and it's all part of the workflow. So I kind of just knocked out a couple real good and quick and easy points on what I've learned from podcasting and kind of asked the question, begged the question even, if you really want to say, what have you learned from what you're doing today? So if you take what you're doing, so if you're a computer technician, you know, and you go back down to the very basic level, you know, just from troubleshooting tips, it's like what, just want to give you a little bit of something to think about. What is it that you've learned? What basic skills have you learned that have kind of helped you out along the way? So it's just kind of, we're prepping for some other stuff that's happening a little bit later in the year, so I just wanted to kind of get you thinking about it. But the skills that I've taken away from podcasting, first of all, is workflow is king. You have to be able to break down and categorize out what you need to do, what the steps are that you need to do from get to point A to point B. The next thing is the devil is in the details. He really and truly is. You really need to make sure that the tiny little things are right. People are willing to overlook, you know, a site that doesn't have a perfect header image or something like that, but they're less willing to overlook, you know, audio that sounds bad or tiny little things in like misspellings, which is something that I do all the time. There's probably misspellings in the article there. The other thing is that your research time has to be greater than or equal to your production time. If you're going to be doing a podcast, you need to know about what you're talking about. So that's pretty much it. Then the second to last little thing here is my absolute and utter mantra for doing any and all media. It's PCP. Punctuality, consistency, and passion. It's what I call the angel dust of podcasting. I actually did a presentation on this at PodCamp Philly, and I'm trying to work it out so we can actually get it out in a better format than it was before. But these are really the three tenets of every episode and every piece of content that I put out. You have to make sure that it's all out on time, and I really do try that it is. You have to make sure that you're consistently on message, that you stay with the same kind of tone and everything else throughout it, each and every episode. And then the last little thing is that you have to bring the noise and the funk. You have to be passionate about what you're talking about. You have to really like it, or at least fake it really well. But, you know, the good thing about talking about something like this, and the caffeination truly is a hobby, is that I honestly do love coffee and technology, so it's really easy to have it come out, you know? And then the last little thing is don't be afraid, you know? There's a lot of people out there who try and walk that fine line and say, oh, you know, I don't want to irritate the Apple people, and I'd like to not irritate the PC people. I mean, even, you know, if you take it beyond that, you have to not be afraid to call somebody out. Call a spade a spade. Call people out, and as long as you have an opinion, and as long as you have an informed opinion, you should be all right. Now, this, people get into huge trouble about this in politics, and people have accused me of kind of walking the line in politics. You know what? But I am who I am, and that's, I don't make any issues with that. But I just want to kind of put it out there, and hopefully, you know, I just want to see what anybody else takes away. What is it that you do on a daily basis? What is it that you do for a hobby or something like that that you really got something out of? I mean, just take a look at it, you know? Alright, moving right along to actual stories written by real honest-to-goodness authors. We're moving into the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. The first thing up here is podcasting and education, something I'm very well aware of because I work on the iTunes U thing at Temple, but I'm not the chief person by any stretch of the imagination. I just produce content for one smaller department. So it's kind of interesting to see a larger scale study of this. And the end all and be all of this is why to go to class at all. Lecture podcast listeners outperform class attendees. This is really interesting news, and you know what? I kind of honestly would have thought about this, and I kind of predicted this to a certain extent when I was talking to people, and the reason for this is, at least that I think, they're active listeners. They have to actually go out there, get the content, and find time to listen to it. Even if they're doing other things, they're actively engaged because they have to hit play. And, you know, they might walk out of the room, they might come back, you know, but there's much more of an active and a voluntary aspect to them listening to the lectures than them being forced to come at 8:40 in the morning when they may have had a late night last night or when somebody might have been keeping them up. There's just so many other external factors that people are really kind of doing time-shifted learning as opposed to, you know, the standard rigid. So it's kind of interesting, and I'd like to kind of give you a little link over to that so you can head on over and see this. This is at Podcasting News, and they're saying the average grade that the students received who who were podcast listeners was 71%, which is not fantastic. But this bested the 61% of the score who students who only heard the material in a lecture hall. You know what? It's much more of an active way of learning. So I'm really not surprised, but I'm happy to see it kind of confirmed by a study. So it's kind of interesting to see. But you know what? I'm going to be passing this around to some people in work because I think it's fantastic. All right, up next we have a fun little link sent over from Ben from the Ben's Tech Show over at benstechshow.com. Thank you so much, Ben. Ben is a fantastic member of the Tech Podcast Network, and he sent me a rather interesting story about a 16-foot-tall Lego Pharaoh that is currently floating down the River Thames in London. This is going to be fantastic. It's not going to be. It currently is. It is making a final leg of a 1,395-mile journey, where it is going to end up in Windsor's Legoland, the Kingdom of the Pharaohs attraction, which is set to open on March 21st. I thought this was really cool, for instance, not only for the fact that it was a giant Lego Pharaoh, but the fact that there's 200,000 individual pieces, and the piece itself weighs more than a ton. So this is unbelievably cool. So I just want to kind of pass it along and thank Ben very much for giving that in. Next little thing that we have up here is the coolest business card ever. Apparently, if you work at Lego, your business card is not a business card. This is a fantastic way of staying on brand. I mean, this is unbelievably cool. Your business card is a Lego minifig. That's right. Your business card is a Lego minifig that is sort of made to look like you. So if you wear glasses, it has glasses. They try and match your hair color and male to female kind of ratio. And then they also put your name across the front and all your contact information on the back. And it's in the stereotypical Lego colors. It's in the yellow and the red and the white. So it stays on point with their brand. And you know what? If you got a Lego minifig from somebody who works at the company, you are definitely going to not only keep it around, it's going to stand out. It doesn't fit in a business card holder, which normally is a bad thing, but in this case, it's so cool that it's a really good thing, because every time you see that, you're like, oh yeah, I remember meeting Charlotte, which is the example little one up there. So I just thought this was really cool and wanted to pass it along. And then the next little thing we have here is actually a very special link that I found directly for Norbert, and I've also forwarded it over to my mother-in-law, but this is a Lego birthday cake. An interesting artist actually completed, this was completed in January 28th, 2008, so it's actually last year's thing, but it's kind of cool in and of itself. It is a solid Lego birthday cake, complete with tiny little Lego sprinkles and everything else. There's actually a Lego fork. The only thing that's not Lego on this is actually the plate that the piece of cake that was removed from the Lego cake is actually made of. So I sent this over to Norbert's Facebook thing, and I just thought it was really kind of fun. This is from SeanKenny.com, and he did a really interesting job. And you know what? This is not something that I would have thought about. What I'd like to see is a sort of a mold where you could actually mold different cake decorations based on Legos, because I think that would just be awesome. So there's candles on it. There's little bumps on it. There's sprinkles. There's icing around the outside. It's a really complete Lego cake. So happy birthday to Linda, Norbert, and everybody else who celebrated this month in general. So I just thought it was really cool and wanted to pass it along. All right, up next, duct tape that might actually work on ducks, which is the biggest Achilles heel of the tape. I don't know if you knew that. And they're talking a little bit about overbranding. This one is from over at toolmonger.com. Nuclear grade duct tape. Not quite. I don't know exactly if it's going to work in a nuclear reactor. However, they are saying 3M has released a new version of duct tape, which is red or blue as opposed to the gray. And you can, of course, get duct tape and painter's tape and all different kinds of colors right now. But the new nuclear grade performance, high performance tested. I guess, you know, the only thing you could have here, you know, another word thrown in there is the Shelby brand. I mean, there just have to be something else in there. But this is a polyethylene film covering a cloth scrim for waterproof backing, a mixture of natural and synthetic rubber for adhesive, and it is in slate blue or gray. There's a 60 roll yard of this thing will run you about $15. So it's a little about double the price. But the good thing is, the real reason that duct tape never really worked on ducks is that it doesn't stand up to temperature well, and these things can actually be used up to temperatures of 200 degrees. So you could probably, you know, tape off the lower end of your car engine block. Although I do know at least one person who has fixed his car engine block with super glue, not duct tape, because duct tape just pretty much falls apart. And I'm pretty sure it would blow out the 200 degree thing. And I'm pretty sure nuclear fusion or fission would kind of go a little bit above that as well. So it might be a little bit of a case of overbranding, but you know what? You're going to remember the nuclear grade duct tape a little bit more than you're going to remember Performance Plus. So I just wanted to kind of pass it along because I thought it was awesome and duct tape is pretty interesting in and of itself. All right, another little thing we have for you here is teachers and social networks, the wrong idea. Now, the idea behind me putting that wording in there is that a lot of people seem to get the wrong idea about teachers joining social networks. They think there's some nefarious thing afoot, as opposed to considering the fact that teachers are, in fact, normal, everyday human people who do normal, everyday things, like try and connect with people they went to high school with. They're not trying to connect with the people that they're currently teaching, more often than not. But there's an interesting little article from over at dmissler.com where the gentleman talks a little, or Daniel actually talks a little bit about a lot of the stories that are coming out right now, where teachers are actually facing disciplinary action by the union and the school districts for joining, just for having a Facebook, MySpace profile, High Five, Friendster, whatever you want to call it. And I'm pretty much in agreement with Daniel. I would much rather have a teacher who understands the privacy concerns of having a Facebook profile to just be able to educate the kids. You know, not even to have, you know, okay, so what? So your kids find you on Facebook. As long as you have your profile set to private, there's no issue with that. I mean, just don't friend them. Hey, can I be your friend? Yeah, sorry, not really an appropriate relationship for a student teacher to have. Okay, moving right along. So I just thought it was an interesting little article and wanted to pass it along to all of you out there. All right, up next here, I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but Gmail has a new feature in the Gmail Labs thing. It's multiple inboxes. It's a little bit of a misnomer. It's not actually multiple inboxes. It's multiple views into your current inbox. So you can have all the starred things, you can have all the things that fit any labels, and then you can have the plain and simple regular inbox on the left-hand side. And this is also where the term, before we're doing this, inbox zero has come from. But, you know, not this particular thing, but this is where I'm trying to fit it in. Inbox zero is the idea that you should work with a empty inbox. You should either file things away, you should archive them, which is something that a lot of people don't necessarily do in Gmail, and I've actually started doing it, and you know what, I found myself a lot more productive. So what you do is, if you need to act on an email, then you leave it in the inbox. If you don't need to act on it, you archive it, at least in the realm of Gmail, and it just goes away. You can still search for it, it's still there, don't worry about it. But you can actually really kind of manage your workflow a lot better, because that way all of your action items are still sitting there in the inbox facing you down every time you look at it. It's a little bit of a guilt trip to actually get you to do things. So I thought that was really cool, so I did want to kind of push that out there. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I've actually taken the plunge the past couple of weeks, so we're going to see how it works out. So far, it's been working out quite well for me. But this article actually says, you know, there's a lot of people out there who have multiple Gmail accounts, and I myself am one of them, and it's almost, but most assuredly against the terms of service of Gmail, but, you know, neither here nor there. There's a way to now actually view all of your different email accounts in one thing, and it's really an ingenious little solution. Basically, you have to set up one mega Gmail account, and then you forward through Pop Email all of your other email accounts to it, and then you set up a set of filters so that anything forwarded from, you know, caffeination@gmail.com goes into the caffeination label. Anything that forwarded from puzzlepiecepro.com goes into the puzzlepiece pro label. And then you associate each label with each inbox view on the left or right hand side of your screen. So it's a very simple and very elegant solution. The only problem is, if you are somebody who has a metric ton of email, then you're going to blow out the quota on your new mega email account. So, you know, you leave the emails in the original account if you have to deal with them. This is not exactly the solution I was looking for yet, so I just wanted to pass it along in case there was somebody else out there who just kept missing emails from a little used account, so I just wanted to make sure that you still had this in your at your disposal, you know? All right, up next, an interesting little blog from Tom Rhodes where he reimagined a lot of 80s cartoon and video game characters. So things as simple as Earthworm Jim, Psycrow, Peter Puppy, Sly Fox, Duke Nukem, Sonic and Knuckles. My favorite actually is Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider, or just Tomb Raider in general, Lara Croft. So you want to play as a brilliant British female archaeologist? Well, knock yourself out. And they show you a rather frumpy old woman wearing a with a large nose, wearing glasses and hiking boots and a whole bunch of a pack of stuff like that. Next little thing that they have up there, the two only other ones I'm going to talk to you about are Ken and Ryu. They said, I bet you didn't know that Ryu is supposed to be Japanese. So we actually drew him as Japanese, and it does look a little bit weird. Then the last little one I wanted to talk to you about is he also had Mario and Yoshi. So gone are the overalls. Instead, we just have a short Italian plumber with a red nose and overalls. That's it. And Yoshi's, of course, a dinosaur with a saddle, so it looks a little bit different. I gotta tell you, I really enjoy when people play around with the intellectual property of our youth and kind of fiddle with it just a little bit, because you can still see sparks of what made it that interesting to you, but you kind of have to move along, so it's kind of fun. All right, then the last little thing we have for you here in the Caffeination, the Geekcraft section, actually, is an old-school phone with an inflation-adjusted pricing. That's the way I'm just phrasing everything that is so expensive that you can't imagine why anybody would attempt to buy it right now. So it must have been like $15 back in like 1970, and now it's $250, which is the current price point for this thing. This is a mobile phone. This is an old-school rotary telephone that is actually a Bluetooth receiver. So you can keep your phone in your briefcase, your book bag, whatever, and actually have it linked up to this so that you can actually dial with this. I like the idea. The idea in itself is relatively cool, but the execution and the price point put it way over the edge. So just had to pass it along because I thought it was interesting, but really didn't expect anybody to ever actually buy one of these. All right, moving right along to the consumable and caffeinated bits, we do have a ton of stuff to talk to you about here. We're still kind of trying to keep up our generally quick pace here. So far, so good. Did want to, however, mention, in case you are listening at some other streaming service that is available anywhere out on the inner tubes, you are, of course, listening to the Caffeination Podcast, and we are located over at www.caffeination.com, and all comments, feedback, suggestion, and hate mail can be sent directly to caffeination@gmail.com. All right, thank you. We're moving right along. First up, we have an article written by one Paul R. Muller, who just happens to also be recording this very podcast. It's a new review of coffee vodka. Yeah, you heard me correctly. I found yet another different version out there of coffee vodka. This is not the three olives triple espresso vodka, nor is this the coffee vodka that I made myself, both of which can be found if you do a little search on the Caffeination homepage. But no, this is actually Vincent van Gogh double espresso vodka. I'm not going to ruin all the different little things in it, but I do want to tell you that it is, I wouldn't say it's better than Three Olives. I think Three Olives is much more of a cordial, and this is much more of a mixed drink kind of thing. There's a little bit of bite to it. You can definitely feel and taste the vodka, and it's much less enjoyable to drink straight. I'll just put it that way. However, it does smell like coffee. It has a nice crisp coffee scent, which is kind of rare because coffee usually is a little bit more full-bodied and rich. So it was crisp coffee. It's the double espresso, double caffeine. So if you write out the entire full name of this thing, it is Vincent van Gogh double espresso and double caffeine vodka. There has to be somebody out there who's going to start a task force against exceedingly long product names. I'm just serious. The other thing that I kind of wanted to make note of is I got to tell you, I need to call out the Vincent van Gogh people who are doing the alcohol bottles. First of all, you're celebrating one of the greatest artists of all time who happened to have an alcohol problem by releasing bottles in his name. Second of all, you are slapping paintings on the bottle and calling it a high quality spirit. You know, I think you're really missing, and you know, you have this lovely Vincent van Gogh painting above it, and then you have a clip art little artist palette and paintbrush below it. I mean, the dichotomy that's there. I mean, it's not even an interesting font to say the least. But the dichotomy between the Van Gogh approximation up at the top and the clip art down at the bottom is really kind of stunning. I was really hoping for something a little bit better packaging wise with this. I mean, wrap the entire bottle just in a skin of a Van Gogh or something like that. Make it look interesting. Make it look intriguing. I mean, people are going to buy it because it is Vincent Van Gogh, and His name, after his demise, was associated with paintings of great value, so by association, a little bit by proxy there, then the spirits must, of course, be great value. They must, of course, be good things. Well, they're all right, but I got to tell you, I really do enjoy the Three Alms one a little bit better. So we're moving right along here. Over at randomgoodstuff.com, you can now cry over spilled milk, but I wouldn't. I'd probably be laughing, because this is pretty cool. This is a plastic bowl that looks like a droplet of milk, but if you actually drop one drop of milk in the middle of a bowl full of milk, and you see the splash that happens afterwards, where there's the little droplets going out in each individual direction. You've seen pictures of this kind of thing in different art photography and stuff like that. This is now a bowl that's shaped like that milk splash. So I thought that was awesome. I thought that was great. I do, however, have to mention, completely unrelated to this, there was a tanker spill on the local highway I-95 here this morning, and it was actually a milk tanker that was overturned, and I was really upset because the otherwise witty people in the news did not make the spilled milk joke once, and I was really kind of upset, so I just had to say something about it today. Alright, moving right along here, we have a hot dog cooker, an extending telescopic hot dog cooker that rotates for kids who don't have sticks. At least that's what I'm saying. This is again from over at randomgoodstuff.com. I'm a little bit of a fuddy-duddy about this. I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you're out camping or if you're someplace where you're going to go out and you're going to try and roast a hot dog over an open flame, you should probably get a stick, carve the end of it, and shove it through the dog. I don't really think that a fishing rod like lure to extend the thing out there and then rotate it around is really kind of keeping with the pioneer spirit. It seems to be a little bit more gadgetry. And I'm somebody who invented a fork that you can actually spin to get the spaghetti on it through a crankshaft. So, I mean, this is taking that kind of invention and just taking it one step too far. There's something really kind of interesting and fun about just getting a stick and poking it through there. I mean, it cooks all the bad things away. I mean, people are too just anti-backed up right now. That's why everybody's sick. All right, now the next little thing that we have for you here. This one's from over at Discovery.com. This is a Discovery Channel store. This is a bubblegum factory that you can buy. I just saw this and had to pass it along because for some reason the thing was knocked down from $20 to $1. So I don't want to know why there was like a, you know, 900 or 1,000% discount on the price, but it looks really kind of interesting, and I never actually thought about how bubblegum was made, so I wanted to kind of pass it along. All right, up here we have our totally cool link of the day. Yes, Norbert didn't send in a Lego link when I'm sending one to him. This is Coffee Light Utilizes Teacups for Your Home. The only problem I have with their little title from over at CoolestGadgets.com is the fact that they're saying Coffee Light Utilizes Teacups to Light Your Home. You don't usually drink coffee from a teacup. You drink coffee from a coffee mug or a demitasse. What these are is tea lights. You can call them tea lights. In fact, tea light would make more sense, and it would kind of be a little bit of a double entendre. That's what they were meant to be. It's interesting little covers for recessed lighting that you would put across a baseboard or something on the ceiling. I love them. I think they're great. Unfortunately, they're around $199 for what appears to be three of them. So I'm probably just going to go out to the dollar store, buy a bunch of plastic teacups and put a hole in the bottom to put them in my ceiling. I don't know about you, but I just thought it was really cool. Thank you very much, Norbert, for sending it over. And the next little thing we have for you here is yet another example of inflation-adjusted pricing. This is Hourglass Coffee Brewer. You can ditch your hot brew coffee brew for this cold brew method. The idea behind these things, which is very, very simple, is that you take coffee grounds, you put it in between water and a place where the water needs to go. And then through the wonder of gravity, it actually force brews the coffee, you know, as it pushes down. So there's no heat involved. You get a different flavor to the coffee slightly. I think it's relatively interesting. It looks all plastic. It looks like it should be very portable and very cheap. However, through the wonder that is inflation-adjusted pricing, this sucker is $80 for no apparent reason. So you don't even have to heat this thing up. They're saying this is a great little travel mug idea, but you know what? No, it isn't. You got to call it out there. All right? All right, now the last little thing that we have for you here is you can take your six-pack with you, at least if you're including eggs. We actually had one of these in our camping equipment. This thing's only $5. I wanted to just kind of set it out there because I thought it was fun and ask if anybody had ever actually seen one of these things used. It's a tiny little suitcase with six spots for eggs. I don't know what it's about. I thought it was fun, so I thought I'd stick it at the end of the show. All right, thank you so much for listening to this. This has been Caffeination number 313. Lucky number 13. I love the number 13 for some apparent reason. But I would like to say thank you very much for listening. This has been a rather interesting episode, hopefully. This and all the other episodic friends are lovingly located over at www.caffination.com. I promise all the other episodes have better jokes than this one. And if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail, you can feel free to drop me a line, shoot me an email, fire one off to caffeination@gmail.com. And that about wraps it up for today. So stop back next time. And make sure you stop in a couple times this week, because we do have a couple more articles to kind of push you out there. So, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And stay caffeinated, people.